For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday morning, March the 29th, 2002. Passover weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Null of Salina, Kansas, is the teacher of the morning.
Y'all stand with me in prayer, please.
Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus, come. Lord, we just thank you and we praise you and bless you, Lord. We give thanks to you, Lord, for your great glory. We just thank you, Lord, and we praise you and we bless you, Lord. We ask that you release your anointing to come down now, Lord God, and touch us. Open our hearts that we can receive your word, Lord. Open our understanding, Lord, that it'll be that we can understand it and use it in our lives. We just thank you and praise you and bless you. Satan, I speak to you, you shall not steal this word. This word's going to fall on good soil, and I bind you in the name of Jesus. All God's folks said,
amen. Amen.
Today I'm going to talk to you about rejection. Webster's definition of reject is to refuse to take, agree to, accede, or use, or believe. You refuse to take it, to agree to it, to accede to it, or to use it, or believe it. Second one is to discard or throw away as worthless or useless, substandard, cast off. The third is to rebuff, especially to deny acceptance of care or love to someone. Rejection is the act of rejecting or being rejected. I want you to understand that rejection is a two-edged sword. You can reject someone or something, or you can be rejected. You can receive rejection into you. Rejection has a double manifestation. One is for it to come into you. You receive it. And you receive the feeling of being unloved, unwanted, unworthy, substandard, worthless. Or you reject something. So you refuse to take it, to accede to it, to believe it, and discard it as worthless. You all see that? Now, when you reject something, the outward sign is that you are being rebellious. So rebellion is an outward sign of rejection having come into you. And rejection was your birthright. Where in the world of God, does it say that rejection is your birthright? Let's look at Ezekiel 16. Now, this is Old Testament prophecy, and it's given in type and shadow. And so we open to Ezekiel 16. And says, again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. Now, in the Bible, Jerusalem is a type of the church. Well, where does it say that Jerusalem is a type of the church? Well, let's look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 26. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 26, it says, we'll start back at verse 22 to get the context. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bondwoman and another by the free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through a promise. These things are symbolic. For these are the two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, and the other, which is Hagar. For Hagar is of Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem that is now is, and is bondage with her children. But Jerusalem that is above, which is the mother of us all, is free. And so the Jerusalem is the church. Now let's look in Revelation, verse 21, chapter 21, verse 2. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, being prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And so there we have the new Jerusalem is the church. Does anybody have any question that Jerusalem is a type of the church? So we will go on now. And thus says the Lord God to the church, your birth and your nativity was from the land of Canaan. Canaan means rejected and despised. Your father was an Amorite, which means pride. Your mother was a Hittite, which means terror. You can look those words up in Strong's Concordance. As for your nativity on the day you were born, your navel cord was not cut, nor were you washed in water to cleanse you. You were not rubbed with salt, nor swathed with swaddling clothes. No eye pitied you to do any of these things for you, to have compassion on you. But you were thrown out into the open field, where you yourself were loathed on the day you were born. Now that, my friend, is utter rejection. That's your birthright. It's rejection. But then what does Jesus say here? When I passed by you, remember the spirit of prophecy is the spirit of Jesus. When I passed by you and saw you struggling in your blood, I said to you in your blood, live. Yes, I said to you, live. And that is the day that Jesus Christ chose you before the foundation of the earth to be saved. Now, you were chosen before the foundation of the earth. Now, all of you know those scriptures. You know the scriptures in Ephesians and John and 1 Peter, where he says, you were chosen before the foundation of the earth to be saved. That was the day Jesus walked by and saw you struggling in your blood, and he said to you, live. Don't die, live. Now, Sister Irma has a wonderful testimony of how Jesus walked by her bed when she was hemorrhaging to death and said to her, live! And walked on, and she lived. And doctor says a miracle. They know how she lived, but she was bleeding to death in the hospital, lying there. Nobody was. She was completely. The nurses were completely ignoring her. And blood was running out of the bed, not on the floor. But she lived. God. Okay. And when I passed by and saw you struggling in your blood, I said, live. Yes, I said to you, live. Verse 7. I made you thrive like a plant in the field, and you grew and matured and became very beautiful, and your breasts were formed, and your hair grew, but you were naked and bare. You were naked, you had no covering. And when I passed by again, I looked at you, and it was a time indeed for love. So I spread my wing. That word wing there can be alternately translated corner of my garment. I spread my wing over you and covered your nakedness. Yes, I swore an oath to you, entered into a covenant with you, and you became mine, says the Lord God. That's the day you were saved and became a new creature in Christ. You became his precious possession. But the nativity, your birthright, your right from the Adamic nature that you had before salvation was rejection. You were rejected. Well, when did rejection come into the world? Well, okay. Let's look at Genesis chapter 3. You know, everything goes back to Genesis. When I was going to teach spiritual warfare, I was playing Derek Prince's tapes to Miss Class and commenting on them. And they finally asked me if I would just teach them, rather than just comment on the tapes, if I'd do away with the tapes and just teach them. And so I said, fine. And I asked the Lord where I was going to get material, and he told me I was going to write it. And I said, where do you start? He said, in the beginning. Start at the beginning. And it took me a week to figure out the beginning he was talking about was Genesis. Let's look at this. Genesis, verse chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Now, you all know the story. Adam and Eve were in the garden. They were naked and unashamed. They were clothed with light. They were made in God's image and likeness. In the likeness and image of God. Is anybody here not familiar with those verses? Now, the word image in the Hebrew comes down into modern Hebrew to have your photograph taken. That word that is translated image comes down into modern Hebrew to have, is a word they use to have your photograph taken. So So you are the photographic picture of God. That's the reason the devil hates you. You look just like him. You know, he got in a fight with God, and God whooped him. He lost. He can't beat God, but he can sure beat up on his image. And that's the reason he hates you so bad. You're his image, and he just loves. He wants to kill you as slowly. He hates you, and he wants to kill you as slowly and as painfully as possible. Every one of you. The devil hates you. The only thing that you're allowed by Scripture to hate is the devil. Hate evil and the devil. And by definition, the devil is evil. He is evil. He's uncomplicated. He's evil. He is unconsciously mean and hateful and destructive. And he wants to destroy you and cause you pain and suffering, degrade you. That's the reason he gets people hooked on alcohol. And every time a drunk straggles down the street vomiting, he says, "Hey, God, what you think about that image?" And he still has access to God. It says he accuses that man day and night. You know, when you're really talking to God about your family, about your mate, about your friends, and about your mate, and you're complaining to him about them, what are you doing the devil's work for? That's the devil's job, is to accuse them. And he can do it much more expertly than you'll ever be able to, and more uncharitably. You don't need to complain to God about what's happened to you. He already knows. You ask God to bless those people. You ask him to bless them, because he says, pray for your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Be kind to those who spitefully use you and abuse you, that you may be a son of your Father who's in heaven. I'm getting away from rejection. Praise God. But that is the answer to rejection, is to love your enemy. Okay. And so we find that the devil came, Adam and Eve walking around naked, they were clothed in light. They were clothed in light. Now it says in Psalms 104, verse 2, that God clothes himself with light. It says, and the scripture says, he dwells in inapproachable light that no man has ever seen, the Father does. When Moses came down from being in his presence, his skin glowed. When Jesus, we had a taste of that on the Mount of Configuration, when the two apostles looked at John, at Jesus, he was glowing. So white, whiter than his soap could ever make him. And the other two. So you have a foretaste of what your covering is going to be like when you get to heaven. You know, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that you have a habitation made of God, a covering made of God. But Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they lost that covering and they looked and they were naked. Now, they sinned because Eve was tempted, deceived. First Timothy tells us that Eve was deceived, but Adam wasn't. Now, when I was taught about it, I always was taught that Eve ate the apple and she ran off and found Adam and brought him back and said, "Hey, I take a bite of this," but that's not quite the way the scripture said. He said, and she gave it to her husband who was there with her. And he knew. He wasn't deceived. He knew he was rebelling against God. He loved his wife so much, he rebelled and left God to be with her. God says you're supposed to love your wife like your own flesh. Not many men do that nowadays. And so they made themselves a covering of fig leaves. Now, what'd they cover? Most artists have them, the old King James says they made aprons. But that's the translation, the commonly accepted translation. But if you look at the word, it's a word to gird on your armor or gird on your sword. So they made a covering and girded themselves with fig leaves to cover their soul. And God came in the night. And so rejection entered in when Eve rejected the word of God and as a result rebelled. Or Adam rejected the word of God and knowingly rebelled. And rejection came in. The devil got the right for all the kingdoms in the country. He assumed Adam's dominion over this earth that God had given him. And he says in Luke chapter 4, in the temptations, he said, "Look at all these kingdoms. They are mine. And I can give them to anybody I want to, and all the glory. Not give them to you if you just worship me." Now, I've had Bible teachers tell me, say, "Well, that wasn't true. The devil was lying." I think it's interesting to note, Jesus didn't say he was a liar. He just said, "I won't do it." He says, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. You worship something, you will serve it. And then God, after he had talked to Adam and Eve and the devil and put a serpent, why does it say that the serpent was the devil? It says in Revelation chapter 12. Look at Revelation 12, 9. I often wondered that, and I just assumed. But, you know, you shouldn't assume things. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9 says, so that great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil or Satan who deceives the whole world. And so he appeared in this Garden of Eden as a serpent. Now, you get all, if you read commentaries, you get all kind of interesting statements. Some people will say, well, he just spoke through the serpent. He didn't appear as a serpent. But it said the serpent. He's a serpent, a dragon. His name is Satan, the devil, which means the resister. He resists you. Or the slanderer. He slanders you. He slanders you before God, and he resists you. Do you ever just try to do something, you feel this resistance? That's the devil. Okay, so the devil deceived Eve, and she came into rejection. And then God, what did he do in 3:21? Then also for Adam and his wife, God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Where they had been clothed with fig leaves, what did God do? That is the first blood shed in the Bible. Shed by God himself. He put in place the sacrificial system that became codified in the Levitical code of an innocent animal paying the price for your sin. The price of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. But God said, you won't have to die. Bring in a perfect, innocent little lamb. Confess that sin over it and then kill it. Pour out its blood, and I'll accept that as a covering for your sin. And that is what stayed in place till 2,000 years ago, when the perfect Lamb of God was hung on the cross and poured out his soul. What would he pour out? His blood. But the Bible says he poured out his soul unto death. Crucifixion is interesting to read the Roman practice of crucifixion and scourging. You know, scourging was an act of mercy. You know that? Scourging was an act of mercy. Now, how can you say taking somebody and beating the tar out of them with a whip, a leather tongs that's got bits of bone and metal in it to tear your flesh apart? How can that be an act of mercy? You see, crucifixion, you die by suffocation. They nail you up on the cross, and you pull the serratus anterior on the ribs will pull your ribs out so you can't, your chest is fully expanded. And all you can do is breathe with your abdomen, and you can't breathe enough. And so you go into respiratory failure, and you feel like you're suffocating. They nail your knees. You know they got that thing, so they sit down, you wonder what that is? That's so they'll nail your knees out in a bent position. So you can't lock them. You can't lock your knees and stand up. You're always bearing the weight on your thighs. And after an hour or two, your thighs get tired. And they start having Charlie horses in them. And they hurt. And you take your pressure off of them, and then you suffocate. And when you get to where you've got to breathe, you push up and you scream because your legs hurt. That goes on for 3 days. Scourging, Jesus was in such hypovolemic shock from the loss of blood that he couldn't even carry the crossbar. They didn't carry the whole cross. They just carried the crossbar. The penthum, which is this thing that stands up straight, is always there. And you just carry the crossbar, which they nail your wrist right there. If they nail it in here, pull out. They nail it right there. They nail you and pull you up and then tack your legs to the vertical. And you're not very high off the ground. Feet about 18 inches off the ground. Not 3 or 4 feet up there. Remember that they used the hyssop to reach his lips. Hyssop plant's about this long. Put a thing on the hyssop plant, reached up. You weren't very high off the ground. But Jesus went into hypovolemic shock and died. The thieves were still alive, so they broke their legs so that they couldn't bear to pull the weight up and they go ahead and suffocate. That was the reason for breaking the legs. But it was forecast and it was prophesied in Scripture that none of his bones would be broken, so he died. So they just took the spear and stuck it into his chest, into his heart, right under the ribs, goes right into the right ventricle, the right atrium, left atrium, I'm sorry, right here. And it just goes right into the heart and any blood that runs out. And so, I don't know how I got into that, but that's just praise your Lord Jesus. Okay. And so, Jesus became our sacrifice. And that fulfilled the animal. That was the perfect and last sacrifice. No further sacrifices were necessary. And that fulfilled the sacrificial law. That fulfilled the sacrificial law once and forever. That's where the sad thing about the Orthodox Jew is, he's caught in a dilemma. The wages of sin is death, but there's no place. They destroyed the temple, and he could only offer sacrifices in one place, and that was the temple on Mount Moriah. And the blood was carried into the Holy of Holies, which is now covered by the Dome of the Mosque, Dome of the Rock. And so there's no place he can offer sacrifices to cover his sin anymore. And so he's sort of on the horn. Christian said, yeah, price of sin, death, but Jesus died for me, so I don't have to die for my sin. The poor Orthodox Jew, he's caught. He doesn't know, you know. And so what they say now is that God is compassionate, will make a way. God will make a way, is what they say on the Passover. God, on the Day of Atonement, when they can't take the blood into the Holy of Holies, they say to cover on the, put on the mercy seat to cover the sins for another year. He said, they say God will make a way. God is merciful, he will make a way. But that's the dilemma they're caught on today. Yes? Okay. Now, how are we covered today? We're not covered. We're covered by the blood of Jesus. Now, in the Psalms, in Psalm 51:7, what does that say? What's that up? 57:1, I'm sorry. 57:1. It says, be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you, and in the shadow of your wings will I make my refuge. It also says that in Psalm 17:18 and Psalm 91, that we are covered by the wings of God. Okay. Now, the word that's translated wing can also be translated the corner of his garment. Now remember in Ezekiel chapter 7, it said he covered you, he took you under his wing, or covered you with his garment. Do you remember the story of Ruth and Boaz? Ruth was a type of the church. Boaz was a type of the Redeemer kinsman. And Ruth went to him on the threshing floor and lay by his side and said, Boaz, do for me your duty under the law. Cover me with your garment. Take me under the corner of your garment. What she was saying to him is, marry me, Boaz. And so he covered her with her garment, his garment. He said, yes, I am a near kinsman, but there's one nearer than I will see. If he will not redeem you, I will. And he did. And Ruth the Moabitess became in the line of Jesus Christ. For she bore the grandfather of David the king. She bore Obed, who bore Jesse, who bore David, the king. And it became in the line of Jesus Christ. But they were covered by the corner of the garment. And so, how Jesus spoke of this in Matthew 23:7 and in Luke, when he said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often have I wished to take you under my wings like a mother hen takes her chicks. Y'all see that? Still, he's speaking of covering you with his wing. You are covered under the garment of the kinsman redeemer, Jesus Christ. One of my favorite stained glass windows I saw in a Greek Orthodox church. And it was the return of the prodigal. The father was proclaimed as an Oriental potentate with a big turban, big man. He had a big cloak. And he was wrapping the cloak He was out on the edge of the village. He was wrapping his cloak around his son. And he covered him from shame because he did not wait for his son to walk through the village alone in shame and degradation. He went through the village and he met his son on the outskirts of the village and he covered him with his cloak. He put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet. I was that prodigal who came home. Oh, God, thank you. He covered me with his cloak. He made me a child of God. And he took me in. He carried me through. And he forgave me for all my sin. I lived a wasteful life. And he took me in. He forgave my sin. And he took me in and he made me a member of his family. And I tell you, each one of you are the prodigal if you don't know it. You should know that your father took you in as a prodigal and he wrapped his arms around you and he brought you into his kingdom and made you a child of the living God. And he covers you with his wings, with his cloak. And you sit on the throne with him. You were raised with him. You were baptized into his death. And you were raised in the likeness of his resurrection. And were you lifted high above all power and principality in every name that's named in this world and the world to come. That's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21, and chapter 2, verse 6. And that's where you are in Jesus Christ today. And he's covered you with his robe. And you're under the corner of his garment, of his wing. And that's where you are unless you walk away. What happens if you walk away? What happens if we resist God's covering? Let's look at Isaiah chapter 30. Now, some of you may have a little different translation from me, but I'm going to read it to you. I'm reading the New King James, but I'm going to quote the Old King James. Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1. Who take counsel, but not of me. Who devise a covering, but not of my spirit. That they may add sin to sin, they walk down to Egypt, the world. They've not asked my advice to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, the devil, who runs the world. And trust in the shadow of Egypt. Remember, he who abides in the secret place of the Most High, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wing you shall take refuge. Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2. But him, they have walked away from the covering of God. And they've gone down to Egypt and talking to Pharaoh. Therefore the strength of Pharaoh shall be your shame, and trust in Egypt shall be your humiliation. So when you walk away from God, you can expect shame and humiliation. That will be your heritage. Shame and humiliation is in the Word of God. Now that when you devise a spirit, you devise a covering but not of my spirit, that literally means to weave a spider's web. Now remember this, that a spider's web got holes in it. A wing doesn't have any holes in it. When you're under the wing and something's on top of it looking out, there ain't no holes to look through. But when you're under the spider's web, there'd be a demon up there. And he got these big holes. He got this spear here, and he just jukes down through there, and, oh, God, oh, I'm wounded. Now, you can stagger back up under the wing, and God will heal you. But why in the world you want to get out there and get wounded? It takes time to heal. And sometimes he might juke you 3 or 4 times before you get back up under the wing. Or you might get so deceived and blinded you don't know which way the wing is. You know, he may give you a deaf and dumb spirit. It's called a spirit of stupor. And your eyes have been blinded so you cannot see, and your ears have been stopped up so you cannot hear. Lest you should hear the word of God, turned and be healed. Now that's in Isaiah. It's in Matthew. It's in Acts. It's in Romans. And Paul calls it a spirit of stupor. It's a deaf and dumb demon. It's a religious spirit that will drag you astray and keep you out there and let the devil wound you and wound you and wound you and deceive you and get you to feeling sorry for yourself. Self-pity will come in. Then anger and rage and blame. And then you will point at this one over here. It's his fault. Accusation will come in. And then you'll accuse, then the devil will beat you over the head and you'll accuse yourself, oh, if I just hadn't done that, this would have only I done this. How many of y'all got the if-only spirit? How many of y'all got that if-only spirit? I'm the only one in here who had the if-only spirit. If only I'd done this, you know, I wouldn't, that bad thing wouldn't have happened to me. Huh? Well, I know some folks got the if-only demon in them, you know, and they're always blaming somebody else for their problem. But if only I hadn't done that, this wouldn't have happened. It's your fault. And so you see, they blame him and blame themselves. Instead of blaming the devil, who's the enemy. Well, and so, let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Let me show you an interesting verse. We'll start up here, verse 8. Chapter 11, verse 8. Therefore, you shall keep every commandment which I command you today, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land which you cross over to possess, that you may prolong your days in the land the Lord swore to give your brothers, your fathers, and to them and their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. For the land which you go to possess is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you sowed your seed and watered it by foot, as a vegetable garden. Now, Egypt is the world. And there you sow your seed, and you get on the treadmill, and walk on it, and this little thing goes, and it brings water up out of the river, you know, to water your garden. Water your works. You water them by your own works in the world. You're dependent on yourself and nobody else. And you're working for the devil, because he's your boss. You Pharaoh. But the land you cross over to possess is a land of hills and valleys which drinks water from the rain of heaven. A land on which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it from the beginning of the year to the very end of the year. And it shall be if you diligently obey the commands which I command you today to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and all your soul, then I will send rain on your land in its season, the early and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine, and your oil. I will send grass in your fields for your livestock that you may eat and be filled. Take heed to yourself lest your heart deceive you and turn aside and worship and serve other gods and worship them. Lest the Lord's anger be aroused against you, he shut up the heaven so there's no rain, the land, no produce. Okay. What's he saying there? He's saying when you go into the promised land, when you're saved and you come in to the land of promises, Joshua led the Israelites into the promised land. Jesus is leading you into a land of promises. You believe God's promises. When you get a rhema word from God, what's a rhema word from God? This is the Logos word, the whole counsel of God. A rhema word is a specific word for a specific situation that you're in. Now that is the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, it is a spoken rhema. It means rhema. Just like Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every rhema that comes out of the mouth of God. This is a spoken word with a specific word for that situation. And when God's given you a rhema, you believe it. And you stand on it, and you believe it, and you believe it, and you believe it, because it'll come to pass. Don't turn your back on it and walk off. And don't try to help God make it come to pass. God don't need your help when he's giving you a rhema word. But he expects you to believe it and be obedient. And he'll send the rain from heaven down. But you worship that great Antichrist spirit, me, myself, and I. I think, you know, I always tell people they all have an Antichrist spirit, and that's me, myself, and I. And I think that's the abomination in the holy place, because everybody's got self in them. And anything that you do that is self-motivated. You decide just to be a good thing to do. God hadn't spoken, told you to do it. And it might be a good project. You know, might be going out on a mission trip. Yeah. But if God hadn't spoken and told you to do it, it is self-empowered. It's self-motivated, self-empowered. God doesn't empower what he don't call. It's self-glorifying and leads to self-righteousness. Anytime you move into something God hadn't called you to, no matter what good quality it has, it's self-motivated, self-empowered, self-glorifying, self-righteous. Therefore, you've got to lay down self in you and fully follow him. And so, rejection, when you reject the Word of God, rejection comes into you. Now, when I reject you, your birthright is rejection. How many of y'all in here have never been rejected? As usual, no hands go up. Everybody has been rejected at one time or another. Now, rejection, if you receive rejection into you, you receive a feeling that you aren't loved. Now, lots of people use rejection as a way to control their children. That's witchcraft. Now, outward signs of rejection is rebellion. You rebel against the law. Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. And so whenever you try to control other people, that's an outward sign of rejection working out in you, where you've been rejected. Because when you get rejected, you feel that you aren't loved, that you aren't good enough, that nobody loves you, nobody cares about you, that you aren't worthy, that you aren't capable. And so all kind of mechanisms come into play, and I'm going to talk about those, how it feels to be rejected and go through the spiritual forces. But today, I want to talk to you about what God showed me this morning. And then we'll come back and talk a little bit about rejection some more. This morning, I was sleeping very nicely at about 3 o'clock when God woke me up. And I tried very hard to go back to sleep, and it didn't seem to help any. God said no, so I got up at 3 this morning and sat at my work table. And he went over something I've been working on anyway, so I wrote it down. And let's see what this looks like. Can y'all read that? Okay. This is an unsaved person. Now, the spirit is him. Unsaved person's spirit is dead, but not really dead. Because Romans tells you that even the unsaved people have a conscience that works. Now, you remember the story of the Pharisees who brought the woman caught in adultery to Jesus? What happened to them when Jesus began to write in the sand? He said, let he who's without sin cast the first stone. He sat down and he began to write in the sand. What did he write? Nobody knows. I've heard all kinds of exclamations. The only time he ever wrote anything was when he wrote in the sand. But they were all convicted in their conscience and left. Now, Romans 2 tells you that when the heathen convicted in their conscience, it tells them right from wrong. And so you have a conscience there in your spirit. And what's this right here? All these little lines. That's your carnal nature. That's the carnal, rebellious nature that you inherited from Adam. I want to show you an interesting... Adam, after he fell, sin came into him. Open your Bibles back to Genesis chapter 3. Chapter 4. And he says, Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain. So I've gotten a man from God. And she bore again. This time she bore his brother Abel. Now, Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also bought the firstlings of his flock for his fat, of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but did not respect Cain and his offering. Cain was angry and his countenance fell. Now, what happened there? God has shown them which were clean and unclean animals. He told Noah to take 7 clean and 2 unclean, a mate, but take 7 of the clean. And so, when Noah came down, he offered a sacrifice, and God smelled the sacrifice, and he diverted his wrath. He said, I'll never again destroy the earth by flood, even though man's thoughts are evil from the beginning. So, Abel brought a lamb and the first of his flock, which was acceptable to God. Cain brought fruit of the land. Now, under the law, you're supposed to take that and buy all acceptable lamb and bring it. But Cain was my supposition to this is that Cain was stubborn and rebellious, and he said, no, this is what I've grown. This is good enough. I'm going to offer it to God. What's wrong with my work? Why is his work better than mine? Any of y'all never done that? Y'all have never done that, you know. I mean, I'm the only one in here ever did that, you know. Said, well, this is good enough. Look what I did. Why is theirs better than mine? Because they did what God told them to, and I didn't. I did what I figured was better. Okay. And what did the Lord say to Cain? He says, Cain, why are you angry? Why is your countenance falling? If you do well, will you not be accepted? If you do not well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, and it should rule over you. Now, Dr. Murphy, in his book on spiritual warfare, says that that word sin, crouching at the door, comes from the Acacian root, which means I can't remember the word now, but it means a demon. I don't know Acacian very well, but I talked to my son, who reads Hebrew and Greek and Latin and German and a number of other signs, and I asked him about it. And he said, oh, you know what that is, Dad. I said, what? He said, remember when I took you through the Museum of Natural History in England, and we went through the Assyrian portion, and those funny-looking winged statues they had? I said, yeah. He said, Rasmussen. Those were the Rasmussen. I said, oh. Yeah, they were the demonic guardians of the building. And if you would offer that satisfactory offering, then the demons that control them, they would be benevolent to you. But if you hadn't offered a sacrifice and the demons were, and they're controlling him, were mad, they were malevolent. And they had a bucket on one side and this long pole with a pine pole curl on the other. What's that for? He said, I don't know. I said, I know what it's for. When you're dealing with the devil, you know, and you get to stick your hand in that bucket, you don't know what's down in there. Maybe a pot of gold, maybe a crab going to bite you, a snake or something. And that pole, you know, with the cucklebur on the end is the shaft. So you don't know what that malevolent animal is going to do. And that's what this word sin is derived from. And he's crouching at the door. And where does he dwell? Right there. Sin, the body of sin, the law of sin dwells in the flesh. So says Romans 7:20 and 7:23 and 6:13. It says that sin dwells in your members. Back there. And so sin is dwelling in the members of that unsaved person. And there's that carnal, rebellious nature that he has inherited from his father Adam. Now let's look a little bit more. Come on over to verse chapter 5, yes. In the book of the genealogy of Adam, in the day God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created male and female. He blessed them and mankind that they were created. Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness and after his own image and named himself. You're in the image of the fallen Adam. You're in the image of the fallen Adam, not the unfallen Adam. You've got this rebellious carnal nature. Did he say that someplace else? Where he says, I was a New Testament Christian. Show me that in the New Testament. And I said, well, let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. You know, I actually have people tell me that. If it's not New Testament, I don't believe it. And it says, chapter 2, verse 3, among whom we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by inheritance, by nature, children of wrath just as the others. That word nature means inheritance. That's the same word used in Galatians where he said, Peter, you and I are heathen like these Gentiles. We are Jews by birth. by nature. And so you have inherited here a carnal mind. And the body of sin holds that carnal mind in bondage. And therefore, it holds a soul in bondage, which runs the body. Now, you've got sin from without. What is that? That's the body of sin and self. Selfish desires. And you got social sin from the world. What's that? That's gambling, chasing, drinking liquor, looking at pornography and chasing women, chasing men, and being greedy. All of those things. Desire for things of the world. Jesus said that the fullness of life was, that life does not consist of desire for things. And up here you got something else called evil supernaturalism. I borrowed that from Dr. Murray. Isn't that a nice name for demons? Up in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, he said, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood." And so he's got a will here. He's got a conscience and he's got a will. And he says, "I am not going to sin." But you know, the law of sin is like the law of gravity. It's a law. You know, I can defy the law of gravity. I can hold this book up like this. That defies law of gravity, you know. Well, why my arm getting tired already? And after a couple hours, you know, it's going to fall. And you can stand against sin, against the lust of the flesh only so long. And eventually you will yield. But the law of life in the Spirit has set you free from the law of sin and death. It says here, thank God. Let's look at Romans 6:6 says, "Knowing this, that our old man, our carnal nature, was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be rendered inoperative, that we should no longer be slaves of sin." So this thing right here was crucified with Jesus Christ. It's gone. You're dead to that. You're dead. You died with Jesus. It's now Jesus who lives within you. And so let's look at what happens. Let me do the rest of it, Lord. Oh, here it is. What happens when you get saved? And this is a concept that I've been looking at. Okay. Now, there's the wing. You're under the wing there. And what's that coming down from the wing? That's the Zoe life of God. It's flowing into you and flowing out into your soul. And it says in Ephesians 4:16, it says you are renewed day by day. You've got this Zoe life of God flowing into you. Romans 8:10-12 says, If the Spirit of Him who raised Christ from the dead lives in you, He will give life to your mortal body. And so that life is flowing out. And where you had a carnal nature in there, you have a new nature. Galatians 5:17 says that new nature fights against the old nature. Fights against sin, pushing it back. You still got sin there. Right here, still in the body. And what's this right here? Well, that's where, when you give in to the deceitful lust of the sin, or that's coming into your soul, an area there is called the flesh. That's the flesh. It's where you've given in to sin. Remember, you've got this new nature in here who can't sin, and it's pushing out. But Peter says, 1 Peter 2:16 says that the lust of the flesh war against your soul, trying to push in. Now, what's these right here? Well, now, Jerry McGee calls those breaches, but that's where you have messed up, where you've gone and messed up. You went down to the peep show or went to that dirty movie or you went down to the card layer or the fortune teller. Well, you got out the tarot cards, and you done breached that, and that lets the demon get a hold of you. The demons are right in here in this body, and they just sort of press into that flesh. Remember, uncrucified flesh is always legal ground for demonic activity. But there you breached it, and they can come in and take part of your soul. You know the devil can steal part of your soul? Why do you think he says in Psalm 13, he restores your soul? Or he renews your soul, it says in Psalm, I can't remember which one now. 23 says he restores your soul. And 25 says he renews your soul. And he says a lion has rendered your soul into pieces. Now, Ezekiel chapter 13 speaks of women prophetess, sorcerers, capturing the soul like a flying thing. The hunter of souls will come and take away part of your soul and put a demon in there instead. Take or steal your peace and put a demon of anger in there. Now, this is very common down in South America where they have a lot of professional witches. Norman Parrish tells a story of one that got saved. He was a photographer, and he had a hobby of photography, but when what he actually did in his dark room was not develop pictures, but was practice witchcraft. And he had bottles in there labeled of people's souls. When he got saved, he talked to Norman, so they went out to a ravine and opened every bottle and said, "The name of Jesus Christ, I release you," and threw the bottle down in the ravine. Then they went around to see all those people and said, "Yeah, I don't know, what about 8 o'clock this morning, something happened. I feel a lot better. My mind is better. I don't know what happened." And that was the time that they released all the souls. Remember, the soul is a spiritual entity. How do you think people become zombies? Well, let's go on. And so these are breaches that are caused, and these breaches can be repaired when you repent and claim the cleansing of Jesus Christ and His blood and call back the soul and cast out foreign soul. And here you've got the Zoe life of God that is flowing into you. It's being renewed day by day. Now, one scripture I don't have up there is Ephesians chapter 2:13. Not Ephesians, but Philippians chapter 2:13, and that says, "It is God who works in you to will and to do His good pleasure." Now, let me give you the New Living Translation. It said, "It is God who works in you to give you the desire to please Him and the power to do His will." Same thing, it's just a little plainer. It is God that's working in you to give you the desire, to will, to please Him, and the power to do it. And so that is flowing into you. Day by day it's flowing into you. Everything comes from God. He said, "I can do all things through God who strengthens me." And this new nature here is spoken of in 1 John. The new nature that can't sin. He said, "He who is born of God," and this nature is born of God, "can't sin." Have you all ever seen that? You know, I said if they said, you know, whoever's born of God, if he's talking about Brother Noel, I'll tell you, Brother Noel sinned since he got saved. But that new nature that is in me, that's flowing out, doesn't sin. And it's pushing out. Now, this is the flesh. Now, we have to realize that this is the heart. The soul and the spirit are the innermost beings of the body and is collectively spoken of in Scripture as the heart. And when you see Scripture referring to the heart, it can be either the soul or the spirit. You've got to look at the context and decide which it is. And that's the innermost being. That's the heart. And as this flows into you and flows out, it is renewed. Now, let's look at Colossians 3:10 to 3:16. I want you to get a concept here of renewal. 3:10. "But you have put on a new man," okay, "who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of Him who created him." So you are renewed in the knowledge of God. You're renewed in the knowledge of God's character. As you study and meditate on the Scriptures of the character of God and pray and don't resist the Holy Spirit, He will work that in your life. What did Stephen say to the Pharisees? He said, You stiff-necked, stubborn people. You're like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Resist. Now, what causes you to resist the Holy Spirit? Rejection will cause you to resist the Holy Spirit because pride comes in. Nehemiah 9:16 says, our fathers acted proudly. They were stiff-necked and arrogant and turned in rebellion against the edicts of God. That's paraphrased. You can read it. But pride, that's the reason God gives grace to the humble, and the proud he puts far off. Humble yourself before God, and he'll lift you up. Resist the devil, and he'll flee. But you cannot get renewed. Proud people cannot get renewed because they're incapable. They will resist the inflowing of the Holy Spirit and the flowing out of the new nature that is going to change you into the likeness of God. Let's go on here. Verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, bearing one another, forgiving one another. Anyone has a complaint, forgive as Christ forgave you. Put on love, which is the bond of perfection, let the peace of God rule in your heart, and be thankful. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, in teaching, admonishing one another, in songs and spiritual songs, and being joyful. What's that? Well, as you go through there, you will pick out all seven fruits of the Spirit. Love, peace, and joy. Kindness, goodness, long-suffering or patience, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. They're all there. And those are the things that will come out of you, that people will see in you. They will be manifested in your action as you let the Zoe life of God flow into you and do not resist the Holy Spirit. If you've been rejected and deceived, and accusing somebody else for your problems, and unforgiving, you will resist the Holy Spirit. And so, but as you do this, is that day by day. 2 Corinthians says you be renewed day by day. It's not a one-time thing. It's like growing an apple on a tree. Fruit grows slowly. It's like an apple. You know, first you got the blossom. Well, in Mark it says, First the blade, then the blossom, then the full corn in the head. It grows slowly. But you can be renewed into the image of God who made you by not resisting the Holy Spirit and letting God's love flow into you and flow out of you. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. But you do that by humbling yourself before God, forgiving, repenting from your sins, coming away from sexual sin and idolatry. You know, God considers idolatry spiritual adultery. He says in the Psalms that he considers idolatry, the worship of idols, spiritual adultery. You know, you're the bride of Christ. You worship any other god, God considers you an adulterer, an adulteress. Love the world, what does he call you? An adulterer, an adulteress. Don't you know that the love of the world is enmity against God, and you cannot please him? And so, that is what God showed me this morning. Once you move away from the wing, that stops. Because that flows out of the covering of God. When you're under his covering, when you're in compliance with him, and you're walking with him, not being stubborn and rebellious and walking your own way and doing your own thing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, there are a lot of other scriptures, but I think we're time to stop. Everybody stand up a little bit. You got to go to the bathroom. Go to the bathroom. We'll get a drink of water. Get a drink of water. We'll take about 5 minutes or so. Otherwise, jump up and down and let the blood get to circulating in your brain again. Lead you in a prayer. And then we're going to We're going to speak to the enemy. Say, Dear Lord, I believe Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the Son of God. He was manifested in the flesh. He died on the cross for my sin.
He died on the cross for my sin.
He was raised from the dead. For my justification. He ascended to heaven. Sits on the right hand of the Father. Ever to make intercession for me. God is my Father. Jesus Christ is my big brother. I am a child of God. I have been accepted in the Beloved. I am not a rejected child. Ephesians 1:6. In him we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. I am a redeemed child. I'm not unloved. My Father loves me. I thank you, Lord, for saving me, for loving me, dying for me. Thank you, Jesus. I confess the sins of my fathers and my sin. I ask forgiveness of the blood of Jesus Christ, that the curses might be broken on me and my children forever. Your word says in Galatians 3:16, Jesus was made a curse for me that I might be delivered from the curse of the law. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord Jesus, I accept your forgiveness and your cleansing. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, I declare that my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Cleansed, redeemed, sanctified by the blood of Jesus. Satan, you have no power over me. No authority over me. No place in me. Be gone in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of rejection. I bind the spirit of rebellion. I bind the spirit of witchcraft. Of stubbornness. Of pride. In the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of lust. In Jesus' name. I command them to leave me now. In the name of Jesus. Be gone. Sit down now. Lord Jesus, I thank you for these people now. I bind the spirit of rejection in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of rejection by father, by mother, by friends in the name of Jesus. I just bind them and I break their power. I command them to leave God's people now in the name of Jesus. I want you to sit very quietly and just breathe out and let what happens happen. Don't worry about the person next to you. Just don't pray in tongues. Just breathe out and agree with me in prayer. And just breathe out very quietly and let what happens happen. If you're afraid you're going to get embarrassed, don't worry about losing your dignity. Don't worry about you can get your dignity back. If you got to choose between your dignity and your demons, let your demons go. You can get your dignity back. Nobody's worried, everybody's worried about their own demons, not worried about yours. In the name of Jesus, I just bind this rejection spirit now. Rejection by mother and father in the name of Jesus. Rejection by family in Jesus' name. I bind that rejection by family in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the rejection by friends, by boss in the name of Jesus. I bind the rejection by self in Jesus' name. I break its power in Jesus' name. I come against the spirit of lack of love in the name of Jesus. Lack of acceptance. I bind them in Jesus' name. I bind the that the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, come out of them in Jesus' name. I bind sexual lust in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Come on out, all you rejection spirits. I bind you and I break your power. Come out in Jesus' name. I bind you and I break your power, and I command you to leave now and be gone. Go in Jesus' name. Go, 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 all of you. Go, all your rejection, go. In the name of Jesus, I bind fantasy. I bind fantasy lust in the name of Jesus. Come out, fantasy, in the name of Jesus. Daydreaming in the name of Jesus. Come out of that daydreaming fantasy in the name of Jesus. Go, 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 go in Jesus' name. I bind you and I break your power in Jesus' name. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you and I break your power. I bind the spirit of self-accusation. Come out, self-accusation. Come out, lust. Lust of the eye. Come out, sexual lust. Come out, sexual impurity. Come out. Go, go. Come out, perfectionism. Go, go. Not being good enough. Just work a little bit harder and you'd make it. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out, perfectionism. Got to work hard for it. Come out. If it's not a work, if it's a work, it's not grace. Come out. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirit of works in the name of Jesus. Works righteousness, come out. Working up faith, come out. I bind faith alone, come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. All faith spirits, come out. All phony spirits, come out. All false anointing spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. Go in Jesus' name. Go, go, go. I bind anger, rage, hostility, murder, rebellion, come out in the name of Jesus. I pull out the root of bitterness. Bitterness, come out. Bitterness spirits, bitter spirits, angry spirits, murder spirits, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, go, go. Stubborn spirits, prideful spirits, haughty spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. Stiff-necked spirits, come on out of there. All you stiff-necked devils, I bind you in the name of Jesus and I break your power and I command you to be gone. Leave in Jesus' name. Come on out. 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 All of you, in the name of Jesus. I bind you and I break your power in Jesus' name. Come on out. Come on out now. Accusation spirits, self-accusation spirits, come on out. Spirits of po-me spirits, come out. Po-me spirits, deep hurt spirits, my fault spirits, if-only spirits. I bind all of you. Command you to come out in the name of Jesus. All sexual spirits, come out. All pornography spirits, come out. In the name of Jesus, come on out. Spirits of masturbation, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, 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 go. Go, go, go. Out, out, out in the name of Jesus. Come on out of the pornography spirits. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, go, go. Fornication spirits, come out. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, go. All spirits of porneo, go in the name of Jesus. Go, porneo. Idolatry spirits, go. I bind the spirits of the occult. Now I bind witchcraft spirits, divination spirits, python spirits. Come out. All the serpentine devils, all the pineapple. Come on out of there in the name of Jesus. Go, go, go. Come out of there in the name of Jesus Christ. Leave God's people. Go in Jesus' name. I break your power and I command you to leave in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, these are God's children. You got no right to them. You got no place on them in the name of Jesus. I bind you and I break your power. I break your authority in Jesus' name. Come out. Come on out with your roots now. With your roots. With your roots. All false anointing spirits come out. Spirits of false anointing. All Pharisee spirits. All lying spirits. All spirits of deception come out in the name of Jesus. Deceiving spirits come out. All murder spirits. All suicide spirits. All spirits of heaviness and suicide. I break your power and I say come out in the name of Jesus. All spirits of hopelessness and sorrow and shame come out. All hopeless spirits come out. Hopeless spirits. No hope. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come on out of there. Hopeless spirits. All hopeless spirits. Come out. Out in the name of Jesus Christ. Out in the name of Jesus Christ. Out. 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 All hopeless spirits. All spirits that says there's no hope. I bind you, hopeless spirits. I bind you in the name of Jesus. All suicide spirits, heaviness spirits, come out. Spirits of murder, spirits of death. I bind the spirit of death in the name of Jesus. Death spirits, come out. Divination spirits, come out. Spirit of divination, python, leviathan, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I command you to go. I speak to spirits of witchcraft mind control now in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you, witchcraft mind control. I bind you. I isolate you from all other spirits. You've got no power or authority to communicate with no other spirit. I bind you in the name of Jesus. And I say, come out of these people in the name of Jesus. Turn their minds loose. Come out. All you, come out. Loosen their minds now. Loosen their minds. I bind the spirit of unbelief in the name of Jesus. No faith. I bind unbelief and no faith that won't let people get healed in the name of Jesus. Go, 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 go. I bind false healing in the name of Jesus. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind false anointings in the name of Jesus, and I command them to go. I bind all religious spirits. Come out. I come against the spirit of Baal. Baal spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. Come out, Baal. Come out, Jezebel. Come out, Ahab, in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of Jezebel and Ahab. Jezebel spirits, come out. Jezebel, Ikta. Come out, Ikta. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, Selebi. In the name of Jesus, I bind you. Come out, Ahab, in Jesus' name. Be gone, be gone, be gone in the name of Jesus. Go, 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 go in Jesus' name. Go in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. Praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord God. We praise your holy name. Turn him loose now in the name of Jesus. You Python devil, you. Turn him loose in the name of you stubborn Python devil. I bind you in Jesus' name. I loosen the spirit of fire and destruction upon you in Jesus' name. Go. Turn him loose now in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. All of you, go, 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 go. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you and I break your power. I break your power in Jesus' name. I break your power in Jesus' name. All you Antichrist spirits, come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. Antichrist spirits. All of you Antichrist spirits, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All you phony spirits, all you religious spirits, come out. In Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. Touch him. Touch him, Lord. Hallelujah. We praise you and we bless you and we glorify you, Lord. I come against all infirmity spirits now. I come against the spirits of death in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the power. I come against the spirits of death now. Come against the spirits of brain tumors, encephalitis in the name of Jesus. Come against the spirits of tinnitus in the name of Jesus. I bind the deaf and dumb spirits in the name of Jesus. I bind all spirits of deafness and tinnitus in the name of Jesus. I break your power and I command you to go. Go. All spirits of fear, go. Go! 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 Go in the name of Jesus Christ! Go! Go in the name of Jesus! Go in the name of Jesus! Go! 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 All of you, go! Go in the name of Jesus! I break your power! I bind you and I command you to leave now! All tinnitus spirits! All deaf spirits! All blind spirits! Come out! All glaucoma spirits! All spirits of asthma and hay fever, all allergies, come out in the name of Jesus. All bronchospastic disease, all bronchitis, come out. Bronchiexodus, come out. I bind you and I break your power in Jesus' name. I speak healing and restitution to God's people in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, I bind all esophagitis now, all duodenitis, all acid reflux in the name of Jesus. I bind you, come out of there in the name of Jesus. All colitis, ephthitis in the name of Jesus, nephritis, hepatitis, come out, cholangitis, come out, gallstones, kidney stones. I break your power, gallstones, kidney stones, I bind you to dissolve. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. We speak healing and restitution to God's people in the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. I come against arthritis, myalgia. I come against myalgia, arthritis, in the name of Jesus. Be gone in Jesus' name. Polymyalgia, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against the spirits of schizophrenia. I bind the spirit of schizophrenia in the name of Jesus. Schizophrenia, paranoia, come out in the name of Jesus. All spirits of envy and jealousy, come out, suspicion and distrust. Come out in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of paranoia in the name of Jesus. All spirits of envy and jealousy, come out in Jesus' name. All spirits of accusation, come out. Come out. Come on out. All accusing spirits, come out. Spirits of accusation, come out. Come on out. Accusing spirits, come out. False spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. Leave God's people now. All you accusing spirits, come out in the name of Jesus. We bind you and we break your power in Jesus' name. We speak healing and restitution to God's people in the name of Jesus. Come against diabetes in Jesus' name. Bind the spirit of confusion in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I break your power in Jesus' name. Go, 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 all of you, go in the name of Jesus. Be gone in Jesus' name. Be gone in Jesus' name. Be gone in Jesus' name. Go, go, go. We break your power. I come against the spirits of stubbornness now. Stubborn spirits. I come against the stubborn spirit. Come on. Spirits of stubbornness and pride, stubbornness and rebellion. I bind you and I break your power now. Come on out. Self-stubbornness. Self-deception. Deceiving spirits. Self-deception. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out. Deceiving spirits. Self-deception. Come out. Unteachable spirits. Come out. I break the power of the unteachable spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out in Jesus' name. I speak healing and restitution in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bind diabetes and heart attacks and strokes in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of stroke and heart attack in the name of Jesus. And diabetes and cancer. I speak to cancer. I speak to cancer of the prostate, cancer of the colon, cancer of the cervix, cancer of the breast. I bind you in Jesus' name and I break your power. Come out of there, cancer. You can't stay in God's people. Go in Jesus' name. Go, go, all of you. Get out of there in the name of Jesus Christ. Leave. Be gone in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. If I leave anybody and I leave out anything, anybody wants called out. Everybody stand up then. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Thank him. Thank him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jim Noah was in the belly of the whale. And he said, for 3 days and three nights with seaweed wrapped around his head. And he said, I will turn to my God and I will offer the praise, this sacrifice of thanksgiving. And I will fulfill my vow. God spoke to the fish and he vomited him on dry ground. Hallelujah. Thanksgiving brings deliverance. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, let your spirit flow down into these men and these women, Lord. Let your spirit flow down. More of your spirit. More of your love. Now, Lord, I release the love of the Father, the unqualified, unconditional love of the Father. Let it flow into them, Lord. The Zoe life of God, the unconditional love of God that will flow into them, Lord. For your Zoe life is love. God is love. Touch them, Lord God, with your unconditional love that they know that they are loved, that they are children of the living God. Hallelujah. And all God's people said, amen. Bless the food, Lord. Bless the food. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.